Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Monday again.
Here we are. We meet again.
We do. We've sort of got into a bit of a swing now, doing these intros on a Monday, which is quite nice. And we had a bit of a different one today. We had an exciting meeting in London. Yes. We actually got to see each other, give each other a cuddle.
It was really nice. The sun came out for us. And I don't know about you, but I have been feeling the January dredge big time. Mm. As in, this month will not fucking end.
It's weird, isn't it? I'm like, oh my God, there's still another week. Oh no, it's actually the end of January. Tomorrow. So when you're listening to this, this is the last day of January.
Thank
Woohoo!
God. Yay! Yeah.
But no, I know exactly what you mean. It has been dragging on. I've actually had quite a lot of socializing this January, which has been
weird.
You've
been drunk every Sunday.
Every Sunday and pretty much Wednesday. Yeah, and sometimes Friday.
You know who you're turning into?
Who?
Your gran, who used to do fizzy Fridays,
yeah,
your nan. But,
I am.
But you're doing it sort of three times
a
week.
I'm just doing it, yeah. I need to, it has actually made me think maybe I'm going to stop drinking, like completely. Is that
everyone
what everyone does when
everyone
they wake up?
Everyone listening to this
hangover?
Podcast is nodding, going, sure, George, sure. Yeah.
If only champagne wasn't alcoholic, it'd be all right. I don't really like any other alcoholic drinks. Not really.
You're such a bougie bitch, aren't you?
I know. I used to like Prosecco, then I found out how much sugar was in it and I just moved away from it.
Well, hold on a minute. Is there there's much more sugar in Prosecco than champagne?
Yes. Right. So it was this time last year, me and Judgy James went wine tasting on a Monday. In fact, it might even be to the date, a year to the date, because it was the end of Jan when we went.
Right.
And it was like Monday, sort of mid-morning, and we stumbled across this vineyard in Kent, and we're like, oh, let's go in and have a look. And we'd been drinking this particular sparkling wine that weekend. We'd had a weekend away in Camber Sands, and it was lovely, and I learned so much, and they talked about the sugar content in Prosecco versus English sparkling and champagne. And
oh,
I swear
dear.
From there. And also they say that's why you sometimes get a worse hangover with Prosecco, because you're getting the sugar crash as well. I mean, I'm sorry, guys, if I'm boring you on Monday and you're thinking, I really don't care about the sugar in Prosecco, I just like the taste. Sorry. But it has actually changed for me. Like, I don't get hangovers and I try and just drink English sparkling or champagne. Or I think Cremant maybe might not have sugar in it as well, but basically that is what it is.
The thing is, people look at us and they're like, you know, Zoe, she's the presenter, she's on the radio, she does it. But actually, it's, we all know that it's Georgia that is living the fucking showbiz lifestyle day in, day out.
I'm really not.
So guess what, I've got big news.
Go on then, go for it, tell us.
I was on Pointless Celebrities.
Oh, yes! Oh my God. And how did you get on?
Listen, I can't actually tell you because it hasn't aired yet. So I'll be very, very told if I told you what happened. But I'll just tell you that the whole process was hysterical and I really enjoyed it. Let me tell you, under those shiny lights in the studio, it is tough. Like, I'm sure lots of you watch it. It is difficult.
I can imagine this. And I always say this to you, that when I'm on the spot, I basically forget my name. Like, if someone went to me, I don't know, just under pressure, what's your name? I'd be like, oh, I don't know, Matilda. And that's probably that. You were always like, oh, no, I don't get that. And now you understand.
Well, yeah, I'm not, yeah, as I said, I'm not going to tell you what happened, but it's definitely worth a watch. It was very funny.
When will we be able to watch it?
I don't know, actually. I'll let you know. I'm going to be hiding behind a pillow as I watch it. But it was a really, really good experience to do. And yeah, I'm glad that I threw myself into it. And it's so funny because obviously I'd love to do Strictly. So when I walked onto set, I was like, da 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 da. And I was like, am I making it obvious enough? Please, somebody cast me.
Enough. Oh my God. Do you know what? Talking about those sorts of shows, I've actually got Gigi downstairs and she's coming up now. Normally I would put her in front of like Gabby's Doll's House or something, but right. She actually asked to watch The Masked Singer.
She knows what it's all about.
She knows good TV. I might get her to watch Pointless as well. Anyway, who are we talking to today? Because that's why we're really here, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what? We've got a really, really great podcast for you today. And a different, I guess it like, well, a different voice, a different accent. We're speaking to somebody who is stateside. So somebody that lives over in America. She is massive in the States. Her following is huge. She was one of the original influencers, but has kind of gone on to do various other bits and pieces for Hello. She's a fashion blogger. She's a mum. She's got a blended family. She's a really interesting person. And do you know what? It was quite interesting where the conversation went, George, because I, you know, we'd obviously got a brief about her and I had no idea it was going to go down this route. What a brave woman.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's one of those conversations where we'd planned for one type of conversation and actually 360 we had a completely different one.
Yeah.
And one that I think so many people can relate to. And it was really quite raw.
Yeah,
in the moment. You can tell she's still very much going through it. And she's and I think it really shows that, you know, each child that you have, it doesn't mean you've got it all sussed. So when you go on to have a second child, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to be super easy and you're going to sail through. And we don't hear that so much. It's usually the shock the first time, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And I was going to say as well, if you don't, you know, because obviously there's lots of American stars that we don't necessarily know about here in the UK. This podcast is for anybody that has experienced that real baby blues, those real baby lows, you know, after you give birth. And like Georgia said, it actually didn't happen the first time around. It happened second time around for her. She's very raw, very honest. And yeah, we just want to say a massive thank you because it can't have been easy. Georgia, who are we chatting to today?
We are chatting to the wonderful Christine Andrew.
We're so looking forward to today's podcast. One of the original Instagrammers from years and years and years ago. She's been on a real journey, very, very open and honest on her page about her experiences. She's got four children. It's a blended family. We're going to be talking about that today. She's part of Hello Fashion and we're just absolutely thrilled to get her on. It's morning where she is today. So let's say good morning to Christine Andrew.
We are actually opposite ends of the day and Christine has just breathed a sigh of relief as her kids have left the house. What is a morning like for you?
You know, it depends on the morning, but my husband's the early riser more than I am. So he usually at first is getting everybody going. And then, we're getting the kids ready for school. My three-year-old is only in preschool 3 days a week. And so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is a little busier than the other days. And then my son Beckham is in grade school. I mean, I just realized, is school probably different for you guys then?
Well, yeah, what's grade school? So we have preschool here and then they go into reception at the age of like four or five. Yeah.
Okay. So grade school is like kindergarten to fifth grade or no, here it's sixth grade.
Basically, we breathe a sigh of relief when they just go to school. Yeah. If I'm honest with you, whatever it looks like, whatever, wavering at the door, we love you, but thank God I can just sit down and have a wee by myself.
It's so true.
So we know a little bit about you because obviously you're on the podcast, but for those people listening, you are in America at the moment. Can you just tell us a little bit about you and your background and what you do?
Yeah. So I've been an influencer for 12 years, which is so crazy. It's gone by so fast. Like, in the beginning when it wasn't, being an influencer wasn't really a thing, you know? And I started back then. My husband and I had just gotten married and I also had a clothing line as well. And We're from Salt Lake City, have 4 kids, 2 he had from a previous marriage, and then we have 2 together.
So you just mentioned there that you, when you married your husband, he already had 2 children. How was that for you? I know Zoe was the same when she met her husband, Oz. He already had a child. How was it? Is it something you, I guess, expected to happen, or is it something that you thought you would never do?
You know, this is one area where I'm actually so grateful because I grew up with a blended family. My parents were divorced, and I feel like I had such a great stepmom who treated me like her own. And so I had that role model going up, which I look back now, and I think that made this situation a lot easier because there's so many things that I learned and took from that. And I always wanted to have a big family. I'm an only child. And so I wanted to have a bunch of kids. Him having kids was never really an issue for me at all. And I think it was nice because they were so young. They were toddlers when I met them. And so I've grown up with them pretty much like, you know, their whole lives. And they don't even remember really any different. So I think it was pretty, you know, that transition wasn't as hard. I think where it gets harder is like sometimes, you know, as they get older, like blending holidays and everybody wants time. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's at the beginning when they're younger, I feel like it's almost easier.
You know, I actually felt quite similar to you, that I really took my role as stepmom really seriously from the word go, because I constantly thought about Isla. Like obviously in her world, she was only 18 months at the time that I met her. She didn't have any sort of understanding on what was going on. But as she started to get older, I knew that, you know, I wasn't her mother, but I was a really important figure in her life, and I wanted everything to be okay for her. But I definitely, when I got together with Dodds, wasn't expecting to be a stepmom, if you see what I mean. Like I just met this really hot rugby player and was like, he's so fit. And I was like, he's a dad. You know, like, I didn't know that I would ever be one. But now it's the best gift. So I'm wondering, you know, as you entered it, you know, what your fears were around it and that responsibility and how that made you feel.
I think exactly what you said. So again, coming from a blended family, my biggest worry was that I didn't want to replace their mom, but I wanted them to feel like I love them as much as my own. And that's like a really weird balancing act, you know, like, there would be times where, you know, we would do something and they'd be like, oh, my mom makes it like this, or do it like that. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you want them to have that special thing with her. Yeah. So I think it's that balancing act of respecting like the special, traditions is the word I'm looking for. Like traditions. Yeah. That they have.
When you meet someone who already has children, do you think there's a pressure to make the relationship work because you know that they've, you know, allowed you into their lives and they've introduced you to the children? Is there a pressure that relationship needs to work for them? Like, I'm just, you know, I'm not in that, I've never been in that situation, but I do wonder because you are taking on a responsibility straight away. And if it doesn't work, then those children would then, I guess, be losing somebody else as well.
I mean, us personally, we waited until like it was to a point that things were going to be serious, you know? And I think it's different for every situation. I have people write in and be like, what point do you think I should meet the kids? And I just think it's so different. There's not like a time thing because some people move so fast. And I think as you get older too, typically relationships move a little bit faster. And I think it depends on the kids' ages and the dynamics. Like there's just so many variables that go into it. But I think it 100% is a pressure. And the advice I give to people is just, hey, if you don't see yourself marrying this person, then I wouldn't, you know, take the time to meet their kids, you know, because it's hard for them to have to, like you said, to potentially lose somebody else.
Yeah. And step parenting, you know, is the best and the worst at times because there's no manual to turn to. I mean, I guess like parenting, you know, you wish that someone could just hand you a book and be like, well, this is how you're supposed to do it. But when you're caring for somebody else's child and, you know, it's not by birth, but you are responsible for them as their parent, but then it's very confusing because like you said, my whole purpose in life is to make Isla know or realize that I love her as much as my own children. You know, I didn't birth her, but she is my daughter and I love her to like as much as I love my own kids. And she always asks me, promise me you love me as much as Luna and Kip. Are we ever getting it right? I don't know. I mean,
I feel like that's a question that we struggle with in blended families and regular parenthood is that question. Yeah. And I'm sure you're doing an amazing job.
So you obviously went on to have your own biological children. How did the conversation go? Did you always know that you wanted to have, you know, your own family?
Let's do it.
Was it something?
Let's make love.
Know the logistics. No, was it always something he was up for? You know, was he always up for having more children?
You know, one, he was. And it was actually, this was interesting because it was something we said like, oh, I want to have kids. We would have kids together. And in his mind, he thought that was one. And in my mind, because I was an only child and we share custody with the kids, so we don't have them full time. And so I'm like, you know, when they're at their mom's, you know, when we have one kid, they're gonna be by themselves. And I always wanted to have a bigger family. And so when it came to number two, it took some convincing to get number two out. So
how did you feel when number one came along? Do you reckon it was an easier task because you already had two children to look after, or did it feel different?
There's certain things that felt different, and it's like your body just knows what to do for so many of the things. I mean, there's still questions where I'm like, what the heck am I doing? But like so much of it is such a natural instinct that you don't realize.
You mentioned about the newborn stage, about saying that, you know, you weren't prepared and you didn't really know how, you know, to maybe look after a newborn. Yeah. How was that then? Obviously, you know, you've just given birth. Did it click in naturally, or was it something that sort of took a few months for you to get your head around?
You know, I feel like with Beckham, I didn't overthink that much about it. But with Ollie, which is my second one, I was so stressed out. We had to go through some fertility treatments to have Ollie. And I feel like I just overthought every single thing with him. I was so scared. I mean, I had postpartum after with him. And so the emotions were completely different with Ollie than they were with Beckham. I feel like, you know, so many people say when I get to my like 30s or 40s, I feel like I have my life figured out. I feel like it's been almost the opposite for me, that when I was younger, I never questioned anything. I knew what I wanted. I knew where I was going to go. And then as I've gotten older, I feel like my mind plays more tricks with me, I guess.
Do you think that's because with life experience, you know more? And you know, like what can go wrong, and you know, you know, that there's more. So I find actually, since we've been doing this podcast, for instance, when I had my son Axel, I didn't think that much into anything, and I was all quite chill about all of it. But the more you learn, and the more you hear how people mess things up and get it wrong by saying this, and they get it wrong by saying that, it's actually had the opposite effect on me. And now I think way more into things than I probably ever did before, and like analyze more. Do you know, we have these conversations, don't we, Zoe?
Less chilled now.
Less chill.
But it's 1,000 times harder than I ever thought it was going to be. Yeah. And I think there's just so many emotions that come with it.
It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster. You said that you had did you have postnatal depression with Ollie?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like I'm still coming out of that one a little bit.
Are you? Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about that if you can.
I had a lot of anxiety after Ollie was born. He was in the NICU for a little bit, and I felt like we had worked so hard to have him. And then I was just so worried something was going to happen. There had been one of my, an earlier friend in when Cody and I had first gotten married. So I don't know her well anymore, but, I still follow her on Instagram. And the week before I went into, labor with Ollie, she posted that she had just had her baby and it was a stillborn, and they had had no idea of anything. And so I was just heartbroken for her, and I was so scared something was going to happen, you know, that, because everything had been fine. And so I was really scared going into it. And then when he was born, he was super purple, and they're like, he's fine. I'm like, no, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And, then they were like, oh yeah, he needs to go to the NICU. He wasn't breathing. And so then they brought in, a couple hours later, they brought him back to me, and I just had this hard feeling. I'm like, something's still wrong. And they're like, he's going to be good. Just he'll stay with you in here. They have him in the States. I'm not sure how it's there. They have him sleep next to you while you're in the room.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm too scared. I'm scared I'm going to fall asleep. Something's going to be wrong. And so I'm like, can you guys keep him in the nursery for the first night and just watch him? Like, I just had that like mom instinct. And so they kept him in here and he stopped breathing in the night. And I was like, what if I wouldn't, you know, like my head starts, what if I wouldn't have thought to just, you know, have all that. And so they couldn't figure out what was wrong for a long time. And it ended up being, he had too many, I can't remember if it was red or white blood cells. They were too thick. So his blood couldn't pass through his veins. And so it would just cut off his circulation. It was a really easy thing to fix, but it's not like noticeable right away. And so after that, when we got home, I kept thinking, what if something goes wrong in the night and I'm not going to know. And so it brought so much anxiety to me. And I feel like I'm still kind of working through it. And it just like triggered anxiety with like other things too. And
I was going to say, how did it manifest in other areas? Because I guess, you know, you've got three other children to look after. You can't really slow down that much. You've got a busy household. But if you're not resting, you're not sleeping, and you're constantly on red alert all the time, it impacts your whole life.
It really does. And it took a lot, like, I didn't realize it for so long, you know, and I feel like I wasn't sleeping. The nighttime especially was hard for me. I'd wake up, if I heard one noise, I would run in and be like, is he breathing? Is everything okay? And I remember going into the doctor. I can't remember why I went in, honestly. And she just asked, are you okay? And I just started bawling. Like, nobody had just asked if I was okay. Yeah. And she just started talking to me about being a mom and postpartum. And it was the first time I'm like, I didn't really know that much about postpartum. And she was an amazing, I appreciate her. And she's like, we can get, you know, there's things that can help you to feel normal again. It's not meant for you to be on it forever. It's just like a temporary, you know, to kind of get things back going again. And I don't know how it is there, but there's like, I feel like for so long, there's been stigmas. Like if you get on something, like it's going to level you out. You're not going to be the same person.
Yeah. You hear a lot of horror stories. You hear a lot of horror stories, don't you, George?
You do. About that. Yeah. So when, you know, you got in for something else, did you know that there, you know, something wasn't quite right? Or did you just think, well, obviously I'm feeling anxious because we've had a really hard time? Or did you, was there a time when you thought, no, this isn't normal?
I didn't even think about anxiety. I was just like, it's so busy because we, you know, we just had a new baby. This is just like, you know, part of the things, we're running businesses. Like, you know, I just thought it was all of those things. And it was just stress. Like, I just thought it was stress. And I can't even, I don't even know how she worded it, but it was like, oh, this isn't what it's supposed to be like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I could remember like, oh, I didn't feel that before the first time around with Beckham, but I was like, maybe I just forgot it. Maybe I blanked it out. And maybe this is because we have two kids now. Like, I played all these rationals of like, maybe I'm feeling this way because, you know, something else, you know, like the older kid, all these things, instead of thinking like, oh, maybe my hormones aren't right and I need to kind of get things back in order. One of the biggest things she told me, she's like, are you being active? And I say this all the time. And I wasn't going to the gym. I wasn't doing anything. I hated the gym. And she's like, if you can just go and walk even for like 20 minutes a day. And we live in like a really hilly area. So then I just started going to the gym and doing the treadmill on like a high incline. And it has been one of the biggest things to help and it's the simplest thing. It's crazy. Like, you know, people are like, go get active when you're stressed. But I'm like, you don't realize it really does work. It's like the simplest thing and it works.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
100%. This is our message constantly. This is one of the conversations we have so much that if you are feeling, I mean, obviously, in certain cases, it's so extreme and, you know, you have to be placed in a unit or you have to, you know, you have to be put on medication. There's absolutely no shame in any of that. But those blues, those daily blues that come, you know, I know if I'm trapped indoors all day and I'm sitting at my laptop and I'm not outside walking or going for a run, or I feel like shit. And I want to cry. And, yes. and it has a massive impact on my mental health. It really, really does. And George is the same.
Yeah.
A simple being outside.
Exactly. And also, yeah. I think as well, as, you know, parents, it's not always, you know, oh gosh, I've got to go and do like a big old like class at the gym. It is just taking like 20 minutes or half an hour for yourself where your mind is blank. You haven't got like emails or WhatsApp groups or kids asking you what to do. And that is such a small thing, but actually it's such a luxury.
It really is.
Yeah. So when you went to the doctors, you were obviously put on some medication. How did you feel about that? You mentioned that there is a stigma and people could, you know, say that you'll never, once you go onto it, you don't feel the same. How did you feel about going onto medication?
I was nervous about it for sure. I mean, I was like, I asked a lot of questions. I was hesitant about it, honestly. And maybe that was like something I'd even created in my own head, because I was like, I don't want to get addicted to something. I don't want, you know, when I get off of it, will I feel the same? And so I had a lot of questions, and it took a couple different ones to find one that like worked for me. Yeah, I was definitely hesitant at first, but now I'm like so grateful for it. And it goes through phases, honestly, where like I'll go off for a couple months and then I'll be like, I'm kind of getting those feelings again. And for me, sleep is like a huge, huge thing. If I don't have sleep, I'm crazy. Like, I don't function well. So it helps me relax at night and sleep and not let my mind race so much. I think, you know, at night, how you think of every negative scenario, like if you hear a sound, it's like somebody's breaking into your house. It's like night, your mind wanders way darker than it does in the day. Yeah.
The intrusive thoughts come thick and fast, don't they? They're really hard to navigate. Do. And if you're feeling in that zone where you said the darkness is there, it's really hard to get out of it. Really hard.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's such a stigma attached to, you know, saying, do you know what, as a new mum, new parent, I'm not coping? What is it about society that doesn't let us say those words?
I'm not sure. It's like a triggering statement to say, like, to me, when I have to say, like, I can't do something, it's really hard for me. Like, it makes me feel like I'm failing. That's one of my, like, trigger statements, is when somebody says, you need a break. And to me, it means like, oh, I can't do it all on my own. And like, you're seeing that I'm failing at something. So you telling me I need a break is really hard for me. And it's like, why should we feel that way? Because as moms, we do have so much going on. And I think we put a ton of pressure on ourselves. And it's okay that we need help. And it's how it's worded sometimes, at least for me anyways, is like, how can I help you, versus like saying like, you need a break is hard.
You know, the spiraling can start if someone says to you, do you know what, you need a break, you need a rest. And you're just like, well, what's wrong with me? Why am I not presenting in a certain way? And am I not managing to do everything on the list? And am I not managing to also look after three children and do X, what, you know, we are super women, but we can't do it all. And yeah, I understand that. I think once one block is taken out, all the other blocks fall quite quickly. I also don't like it. Although sometimes I do think, oh, when will someone just put me in a hospital for a few weeks so I can have a rest? Like, genuinely, sometimes I do feel that way. Don't we talk about that, George? I want to break a leg. Yeah. Remember what I said? Can I just break my leg so I can go to hospital for a few weeks and have a rest?
You said to me, what mild illness could I get where I could be hospitalized for a few days? I remember you saying that to me, and I was thinking, so just go for like a spa break. You don't need to go to hospital. You don't need to go to hospital.
I was gently serious as well.
But I get that. And sometimes, you know, it's not even when anything dramatic has happened in your life. It's just like the constant. And I can, you know, if you've got four children, it's just like you're like on a hamster wheel the whole time. And sometimes you just want to get off and lay in the whatever the stuff is at the bottom of the hamster cage.
You obviously live a lot of your life on social media, and you're really honest with your followers on Instagram. You've got over a
million.
How honest were you with them about what was going on in your life with your postnatal depression?
I was pretty honest. I think even now I'll say like, hey, you know, things feel off. I'm not feeling like myself right now. I'm not somebody to like record myself crying. I know some people do that and like really share their vulnerable moments. For me, I've do better of showing it when I can reflect like, okay, this is why I felt that way. And then I'll come back and be like, you know, last week was really hard for me because of this or whatever. I think it's important, you know, especially when we were going through fertility issues with getting pregnant with Ollie, and I opened up with the community, like having people to talk to about that who had gone through the same thing, yeah. You know, or I mean, had it a lot worse than we had it and had amazing advice and were just so supportive and had insights of things that I would in words that like I was feeling that I couldn't even put out. They were like just the best friends in this community. For me, it's almost like therapeutic a little bit to talk about have that community of women to come and share their experiences and everything and realize that you're not alone. I think so much at least me personally, I'll put these thoughts and think nobody else feels like this or like I shouldn't feel like this. And then you realize so many people do, and you're not alone, and people want to help you.
Were you struggling to bond with Ollie at that time?
I think I was overly attached because I was so scared, honestly. And that's one thing I thought too, because then I said to my doctor when she's like, you know, this is postpartum. I was like, well, I thought, you know, that means, I thought that was one of the signs. And she's like, no, it can be the opposite too. Like I was almost so clingy to him because I was scared, you know.
Has that translated into your parenting now? So the difference between your, you know, parenting towards Beckham and Ollie, you said you're quite chilled with Beckham and it was all, you know, relatively straightforward.
Yeah.
But now would you say, you know, him starting nursery a few days a week, has that been harder?
You know, you learn so much as a parent. I was actually listening to a podcast that was talking about, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was saying how every child is parented different because you're at a different stage of your life with each child that you have. And that was like a light bulb moment for me because I feel like I've learned so many things. I feel like I'm a lot more, well, in some aspects, like with the meltdowns, you know, now I'm like, I'm trying to understand why they're melting down sometimes. Not all the time, because sometimes I don't have the patience, but a lot of the times I'm trying to be like, okay, what's the core of it? You know, why do you feel sad or like, you know, trying to figure it out. Where I feel like even in the earlier, it was just like, let's go to timeout for a second. And it was just like a different thing with my oldest kids because there wasn't so much talk about how to be parents and how to understand emotions and stuff, you know?
So do you feel like you've parented Luna and Kit in a different way?
Totally.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. Like Gigi, my youngest, she's three. She will come into our bed, I reckon, twice a week, like in the night. And honestly, if Axel had done that, I would have been calling the sleep consultant. Like, I would have been furious about it. Furious.
Really?
Yeah, I would have hated it. Whereas now with Gigi, it just doesn't bother me at all. Like, not if anything, I quite like it.
Yeah, you quite like it. You were not a co-sleeper the first time around, but now you're a bit like, oh, she's coming in, get her in.
She comes in the bed and I'm like, oh, it's so cute. I just think, I don't know if it's because I'm not going to have any more children. And so I think, you know, this is going to...
I want to talk on that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, go on.
I think that changes so, so much of your thought process. Because we're at the same spot. This is probably our last... Ollie was probably our last child. And I think you look at things so differently. Like Ollie cries a lot more at night. And in my head, I'm like, this could be the last time that I go in that he'll like cry wanting me to go in. Like you think this could be the last, like everything when it's your last child. You see those like triggering TikTok videos that are like, they are only this small for this long. And I'm like, it sends me in a spiral. 18
summers or whatever it is. That one gets me. I'm like, oh my God, there's not even 18 now. There's like, what, 10 with Axel until he's an adult. That's nothing.
Yeah. No, it's nothing. And it goes like that, doesn't it? And it's the same in our house. Yeah. Oh my God. Of course it do. We call my youngest Kit, who's just had his haircut, we call him the prince. And we're like, the prince can have what he wants. And Dawson's like, you know, you're creating a fucking monster, like a genuine monster. Cause I'm like, and I call him the babe and I'm like, come here, baby. And he's like, he's nearly five. I don't know whether it's the boy energy or whether it's cause he is the last one. So
I've been thinking about it so much. There's so much that I let slide. Axel must look at me and be like, what? I would never get away with that. Like, is this some sort of sick joke?
Well, he's such a bitch to me and so nice to my sister.
He's so strict. Like, we're so strict with him. Like, he would be made to sit at the table and eat his dinner. He would not be allowed to get down. Gigi, like, she do whatever she wants. She can be sticking breadsticks up her nose and chucking food. And we're just like, oh. And we know so much more the second time round, but I'm way less strict. Way, 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 way less strict.
But maybe that was it's what your so learning true. Was from the first time, because, you know, you just a freer house, a more relaxed house, not beating yourself up so much about sticking to a routine or, you know, having everyone sat around. It's just like, it's just a bit more fluid, I think.
Yeah.
Do you think you might have one more? You said we might be done with Ollie. We might
yeah,
not.
Yeah, you did. Might.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I don't know. I think like right now I am maxed out. I feel great.
Yeah.
But we're also like thinking that door is closed forever. It like makes me kind of sad, you know, like so we haven't done anything to officially stop it forever. But,
okay.
Right. So right Let's now, see. Definitely not. We'll see what happens.
Let's see.
You guys are both done then. You guys are done?
Officially done.
Yeah, definitely done.
I've got his balls in my handbag. I just pop them right there. And there, he's had a vasectomy, so that's it
yeah.
We're done. Yeah,
we haven't done that. We've done nothing official, like you say, to end it forever. Yeah.
Just not having any sex.
Yeah, just that
just the key ingredient.
Yeah, just it would be a miracle. No, I'm joking.
Christine, we always like to ask our guests on the podcast for the best piece of advice that they've ever been given, or the piece of advice they would give a new parent.
One is that I feel like there's not a cookie cutter way to parenting, and that your mom instinct is usually right. That if you feel like something's wrong, or you feel like it goes back to all of it being at the hospital, if you feel something, trust your mom gut. Like, you know your baby better than anybody else, and so trust your intuitions with that. But I did see this quote, completely different wavelength, as I saw this quote the other day and I loved it. I was actually going to post it today. It says, telling my babies how much I love them is not simply a habit. It's a constant reminder to let them know they are the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I just thought that was so cute.
That is really nice.
That's gorgeous.
And we're hoping, we always ask our guests about their favorite products. And obviously you are in a completely different part of the world to us. So we're hoping you might have some new ones that we haven't heard of before.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So do you guys have the Duna? The Duna is like the best thing ever. That was like a lifesaver. So much change. That blew my mind. From Beckham's 8 and Ollie's 3. From 8, like when I had Beckham to Ollie, the amount of new devices that they had was crazy. I'm like, they make it, they think of everything now. So the Duna was a big one. There's a car seat, a travel car seat, the Pico.
Oh, we don't have that.
We don't have that.
And they made a travel one that folds. So it's really nice when you're like going places.
Oh, brilliant.
When we go on trips. It's once they're 2 years old, though, not for like infants. Okay. But that's been amazing when we travel. Kite Baby, their stuff is the softest. It's all organic cottons and stuff. And for baby pajamas and stuff, the quality is amazing. And they have sleep sacks. It lasts so long.
Kite Baby. Okay.
Write that down, George.
It's K-Y-T-E. Their stuff is so, so soft. There's a new stain spray. I just found this on Amazon. And I had this... what's the brand? Miss Mouth's Messy Eater. So I had this shirt that was Beckham's. It was a little Gucci shirt. And Ollie wore it and spilt mac and cheese all over it. And that orange mac and cheese is like the hardest thing to get out of clothes. I couldn't get the stain out. I'd like washed it. I'd given up on it. I was just still going to put it in his memory box, in Beckham's memory box. And then I found this stuff. So the shirt had already been washed, dried, everything, put this on it, washed it twice, and it took the stain out.
Oh, wow. Love that.
Oh my God, I need that.
A washing win. Georgia would get excited about stuff like that. Georgia loves things like that.
I do.
Do you love house cleaning, like organizing, cleaning? Well, I'm like so excited about all that stuff.
I like buying the products. I don't like that's doing it. That's I prefer someone else to do the things for me, like my husband.
But you like he's it, you like of, you like house stuff, laundry, like head of laundry.
But I will definitely buy the product.
Yeah.
Okay. This Ollie drew pen all over our couch, decided to write his name on our couch, and that took it out too. So
wow. Okay. That's wow. I think a lot of people are amazing. That. I hope we can get it here.
I feel like a sleep trainer is my last essential, but it's not really a brand. That helped us out. It's weird how each kid is so different, but we got, is that a common thing over there? Do you guys?
Sleep trainers. Yep. We have them.
Yeah. That was like a lifesaver because Ollie didn't sleep forever. So.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it feels like a huge expense and a massive extravagance. But ultimately, if you've got to work and, you know, you've got to function, then sometimes
you just want to function.
Worth,
yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it's worth not having a holiday and you can, and you know, invest in sleep instead.
Yeah. Sleep is like a holiday.
Sleep just affects, sleep affects so much of your life.
Yeah.
I would love to know, like, what's a piece of parenting advice from both of you guys? A blended family one and then a regular family advice or kids advice.
Oh, good question. No one's asked us that ever.
I know. We've never been asked. We should be prepared, shouldn't we? Oh my gosh. Mine is like, don't try and control the uncontrollables.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think that I just try and apply that to everything. So if
something's
gone wrong in the day or wrong in the house and one kid's screaming and I'm like, oh no, why? But then I just take myself out of it and think, well, actually, there's nothing I can do about this. So let's not, you know, blow up.
Before you had kids, I remember thinking, like, I would see kids throwing a fit in a grocery store or something, and I'd be like, why don't they just do something? And then you have kids and you realize there's literally times that you can do absolutely nothing. Yeah. And I'm like, I wish I could go apologize to every mom that I thought that about.
Oh my God, me too. It's better to do nothing.
I was that arsehole on the plane. Do you remember the arseholes on the plane? That was me, that I'd hear a screaming baby and be like, could you move me, please? I'm ashamed. I used to do it. I'm like, I'm on a flight. I don't want, and now I like see a mom, you know, trying to, or a dad trying to settle their baby and I just want to go over and give them a hug, being like, I'm with you, solidarity.
Yeah, exactly.
Christine, thank you so much for coming on.
Wait, it's get your advice. Oh, you can't bail out like that.
She's trying to get away with it. She's trying
we all caught that.
My best piece of step parenting advice would be, do not put any conditions on your love. Your love is enough for them, and if you let love in from them and you love them back, it can be the best thing in your life. I feel really emotional about that, actually, because it's aww, you know, just whatever they're throwing at you, just love them, I think. It's the, yeah, aww, that's it. I could have probably really put that a bit more eloquently, but I thought I was going to get out of it, so.
Just trying to escape.
We got you.
Christine, thank you so much. Enjoy your day. You've got a whole day ahead of you, and it's been an absolute treat chatting to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
I said it in my opening, but massive thank you to Christine, because she really did go there. And actually, from, you know, listening back to that podcast, I don't think that she knew she was going to open up about that.
No, I don't think. Well, it definitely wasn't the plan to have that conversation. We were, you know, we wanted to have a chat about blended families. And actually, it's nice when it takes that sort of turn, because I think if you're listening to this and you're struggling, you get the rawness and the realness in that chat. And also I loved the fact that she's opened to, you know, talking about medication. I don't think we've ever really spoken about that before. You know, we've spoken about the baby blues a lot, but we've never really sort of gone into, you know, somebody who might decide to take medication. We're always sort of more like, oh, you know, talk about it, like seek a therapist. But so many people have, you know, are taking medication every day to help them feel better. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And the help is there if you need it.
I saw Kate Impey, who we've had on the podcast before. She's Mum Lifestyled on Instagram. I saw her doing a really, really open and honest Instagram post the other day saying, this is what depression looks like. And the fact that she's taking medication every single day. And I was really, really proud of her. That's a massive, massive admission. But also, why should it be? You know, we should be able to be talking about these things and normalizing them. So thank you to Christine. And thank you so, so much for listening to the podcast today. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a little follow.
Yeah, and if there's anyone you've seen on Instagram or anywhere really, you know, like Christine, who might not be on our radar, then please do drop us a message with a suggestion. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram, and we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.